Now, you want to release the heat, no?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Good job. Good job. You put the job on.
That's right.
Roll for deep pray first, please. That's too good.
Go for that fact this day, Lord, and thank for praying safely into your house, Lord. We're going to Lord bless us and keep us, Lord. May our worship and our supplications, our prayers, our thoughts, and anything we do in this church be accepted in your sight, Lord, and we give it all to thee and to your Son, Lord. Thank you for sending your Son down our stead, Lord, and send the precious blood of Calvary's cross to whosoever will call upon him and ask for forgiveness, he will see it, Lord. May it also be true throughout the churches throughout this world, especially in this land, Lord, as come to worship, Lord, and come and for those that are led by the Spirit, Lord, use it to convict those that are lost or backslidden and bring them back to the cross and bring them back to thee, our Father, Lord. Give Frank, as he's over in London, keep him safe and well, both men, Joel, keep him safe and well, and draw him closer up, please. Bless Charlotte and Connor, give Connor, keep him safe and well, Lord. Both men, Joel, Lord, keep him safe and well, Lord. See us, Stephen, Connor, and John, Lord, as well, Lord. And also give Christy a blessing and keep him, Lord, bring him back as well, Lord. And also give Pat and Steve, Lord, give Steve some rest by the Lord and some strength. Heal him, heal his legs, especially, Lord, and also to command, you know, just call for Lord and give some sleep as well, Lord. Give Pat some rest, Mike some rest as well, Lord. Give also John Bradfield to the man, trouble, Lord, and keep safe as well, Lord, as we call. And then you will, Lord. Give us this day, Lord, and give us one for number, Lord. And guess, and through the words, mark them through the Bible, Lord. And may our thoughts be in tune with thee, and we do everything to bless and to worship your holy name, Lord, for Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen. All right, we're in our big hymn books this morning. If you'd like to take a turn to 356. 356, I must tell Jesus. Just remain seated as we sing.
Thank you.
sing that or hear the title, I always think of Philippians chapter 4, the great promise that God gives us. When we do tell Jesus everything, says the peace of God will pass of all understanding. We'll keep our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. 364 is next. Can't sing standing on the promise of sitting, so let's stand as we sing 364, standing on the promises.
Who is this that cometh from Edom with dyed garments, from Bozrah, this that is glorious in his apparel, traveling in the greatness of his strength? I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save. Wherefore art thou red in thine apparel, and thy garment like him that treadeth in the wine fat? I have trodden the winepress alone, and of the people there was none with me. For I will tread them in mine anger, and trample them in my fury, and their blood shall be sprinkled upon my garment, and I will stain all my raiment. The day of vengeance is in my heart, and the year of my redeemed is come. And I looked, and there was none to help, and I wondered, and there was none to uphold. Therefore mine own arm brought salvation unto me, and my fury it was upheld me. I will tread down the people in mine anger, and make them drunk in my fury. I will bring down their strength to the earth. I will mention the loving kindness of the Lord, and the praises of the Lord, according to all that the Lord bestowed on us, and the great goodness toward the house of Israel, which he hath bestowed on them according to his mercies, and according to the multitude of his loving kindness. For he said, surely they are my people, children that will not lie. So he was their Saviour. In all their affliction he was afflicted, and the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and in his pity he redeemed them. He bare them and carried them all the day aboard. But they rebelled and vexed his Holy Spirit, therefore he was turned to be their enemy, and he fought against them. And then he remembered the days old, Moses and his people, saying, where is he that brought them out of the sea with the shepherd of his flock? Where is he that put his Holy Spirit within them, that led them by the right hand of Moses in his glorious arm, dividing the water before them, to make himself an everlasting name, that led them through the deep as an horse in the wilderness, that they should not stumble. As a beast goes down into the valley, the Spirit of the Lord caused him to rest, so didst thou lead thy people, to make thyself a glorious name. Look down from heaven, and behold, from the habitation of thy holiness and of thy glory, where is thy zeal and thy strength? The sounding of thy bowels and of thy mercies toward me are they restrained. Doubtless thou art our Father, though Abraham be ignorant of us, and Israel acknowledge us not. Thou, O Lord, art our Father, our Redeemer, thy name is from everlasting. O Lord, why hast thou made us an error from thy ways, and hardened our heart from thy fear? Return for thy servant's sake, the tribes of thine inheritance, the people of thy holiness have possessed it but a little while. Our adversaries have trodden down thy sanctuary. We are thine, thou never bearest rule over them, and were not called by thy name. Amen. Yeah.
That Bible reading, some serious words in there, well worth remembering in these days. So, amen. Thank you for that. Is that Mr. Lewis suggested?
According to Gospel News and CNN.
Indeed. Want to remind everybody, we yellow prayer list is a new one. It's dated October the 23rd to the 30th, weeks commencing. Please do remember that. I don't know if it's on there, is it? Let's see, M&M. Please do pray for Monica's mother. She was admitted to hospital. She's on her way home. Did she get home? Her blood was very thin. She's on blood thinners and one thing and another. And she was... her blood was that thin that they weren't allowing her out of her bed in case she bumped herself and started to bleed. So please do pray for Pat Hain. We're not that worried, but it was a little bit of concern. Definitely a parent, something to pray about, so we appreciate your prayers for that. Please don't forget all of those that have lost loved ones, especially those folks in Chrysler. have lost loved ones and have loved ones in hospital. I don't know about you, but after, I know I refer back to being in hospital, that doesn't make me the only person that was ever in hospital before. But I had controlled surgery and I was out of commission for nearly a year getting over that. And when you see all of these people on the TV shows, they go out through a windscreen and drop two stories onto iron bars, and in the next episode they're all fine. That's not the way life works. Whenever you are hurt like that, those people that are in hospital, they're going to be in hospital. Some of them are going to be in hospital for a while, and they're going to be many months getting better. So please do pray. A lot of people don't like the sipping. It can be very difficult, but it is an opportunity for people to say, well, I've watched TV, I have done what I can do, maybe I'll pull that dusty old book off of the shelf. Please do pray for that. With everything that's going on in the world, there's only one thing that has never changed. That's our need for our Saviour, two things, and our Saviour. I was reminded, I was thinking of Biden. I have two words for you, made in America, he said. That's what he said, two words. Two things, our need for Christ, and Christ himself never changes. The same offer is always there, the same help is always there, and all we need to do is go to him. So please do remember that. If are there any other prayer lists that are prayer items that we need to add? Has anybody got anything else? We pray for the black car is going into the mechanics, Lord willing, on Monday. So please do pray that that's a simple fix and that the other cars get removed as well. So I think that's about that. Nothing else. Oh, the water at the front of the church. And for safety. We're glad Lynn got back from London and guest appearing in the Albert Hall. That normally meant you were performing in the Albert Hall, but Frank is officially graduated. He has his paperwork, he has photographs to prove it, and he's out into the big bad world properly now. So do pray for Frank over in London, and we're glad that Lynn and Dr. Shang made it back safe. That's about it. Don't forget to pray for Pat and Steve. Steve's health is improving. He's lost some weight, and the infection of the angry red of the damage that some of his medicines did to him is fading away, but he's still not out of the woods yet. He has a couple of like bed sores on his back, and that's always a concern, but please do pray for Steve and Pat both at this time, if you would. Is there anything else? Anybody think of anything else? All good. All right, let's pray. And then we will bless in others. Dear loving Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this day, and we thank you for the freedom that we have still to meet together. For the heat, for the light, for the floors and the walls and everything that was done, Lord, I thank you for the health and strength and the help that everybody lent and donated, Father, to get it done. Pray that you would bless each one of us this morning, and pray that you put your good hand upon those that couldn't be here, Lord, and as well as that, Lord, that you would be with those that aren't here. I pray, Lord, for those that have been gone, that you would restore them to walking and talking with you, and Lord, that you would just bless your time in your presence. Thank you for your word, for your son Christ Jesus, and I thank you, Father, that you're always there to listen to us and to help us, Lord, to understand, to give us the peace that the world can't give, Lord. And Father, I have a few requests for you. The ones that's foremost on my mind, of course, is my mother-in-law and her health issues over in America. Please bless Pat and heal her, Lord, and help her off her sick bed. And my father-in-law, Roger, as well, Lord, with his health at this particular time. My brother, his health, not his family, Philip. I pray you too, Lord, for the folks of Krishna, for the families that lost loved ones, and loved ones, Lord, that are in hospital. I pray for great salvation. I pray you too for the water that needs to be fixed, for the car that needs to be fixed, for the church building, Lord, for our own homes, for our daily food and clothing, for your divine protection and provision. And I pray you, Lord, that you wouldn't stop, you wouldn't quit, that you wouldn't give up on us, Lord. Please minister to us and help us and strengthen us each and every day. And Father, remember too other churches and think on the bishops up in Tampa Patrick. I pray too for Stan and the people up in Bangor. Remember as well all those, Lord, Glenn Wilkinson in the Free Church there in Altmagelvin, and Johnny Campbell up there in the buildings, for all those that are prepared to stand up in that church that stood up and reached out to many of the people involved in the LGBT march back there at the end of August. For our leaders and for what's going on in this country and other countries around the world, Lord, I pray you please that you would greatly constrain each and every one of us, Lord, and save lost souls and edify the saints and keep pointing us in the right direction. We just thank you, Lord, for loving us and for all that you continue to do for us and through us. And we pray all this in the name of your Son, Christ Jesus, and we break in the weather of the present land to you, Lord. Amen. All right. Amen. Let's sing another song. 101. 101 in the big books. 101. Jesus Never Fails. This is one of our newer hymns. May not be quite so familiar to you, but I'm sure you will soon get the gist of it.
Thank you.
road, I can see it's into the evening. We are in the book of Matthew this morning. If you would like to take your books about him, your other hymn books, turn to Matthew chapter 14 with me. Matthew chapter 14. I want to spend a little while this morning on the subject of in difficult times. One of which is me being able to see the words, so just like, oh, I didn't even bring the right glass. There you go. If I get a word wrong, you'll know the reason why I can't actually see. Matthew chapter 14. Matthew 14, beginning at verse number 1. I'm going to read, I think, pretty much this whole chapter. And we're going to spend a little bit of time in difficult times. At that time, Herod the Tetrarch heard of the fame of Jesus, and said unto his servants, "This is John the Baptist. He has risen from the dead, and therefore mighty works do show forth themselves in him." For Herod had laid hold on John, and bound him, and put him in prison, for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife. For John said unto him, "It's not lawful for thee to have her." And when he would have put him to death, he feared the multitude, because they counted him as the prophet. But when Herod's birthday was kept, the daughter of Herodias danced before them and pleased Herod. Wherefore he promised with an oath to give her whatsoever she would ask. And she, being before instructed of her mother, said, "Give me here John Baptist's head in a charger." And the king was sorry. Nevertheless, for the oath's sake, and them which sat with him at meat, he commanded it to be given her. And he sent and beheaded John in the prison. And his head was brought in a charger and given to the damsel, and she brought it to her mother. And his disciples came and took up the body and buried it, and went and told Jesus. And when Jesus heard of it, he departed thence by ship into a desert place apart. And when the people had heard thereof, they followed him on foot out of the cities. Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude, and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. And when it was evening, his disciples came to him, saying, "This is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitude away, that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals." But Jesus said unto them, "They need not depart, give ye them to eat." And they say unto him, "We have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And he said, "Bring them hither to me." And he commanded the multitude to sit down in the grass, and took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and brake, and gave the loaves to his disciples, and the disciples to the multitude. And they did all eat and were filled, and they took up of the fragments that remained 12 baskets full. And they that had eaten were about 5,000 men, beside women and children. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray, and when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the 4th watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit." And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." And he said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." Immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him, and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, "Of a truth thou art the Son of God." When they were gone over, they came into the land of Gennesaret, And when the men of that place had knowledge of him, they sent out into all the country round about, and brought unto him all that were diseased, and besought him that they might only touch the hem of his garment, and as many as were touched were made perfectly whole. Amen. We're speaking on the subject of in difficult times, and we're taking verses 13 through 36 as our text. I'm not going to read them again, but they're the verses that we're particularly interested in this morning. And amen. Let's have another quick word of prayer, and then we'll get going. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, again for your word and for the divine preservation of it. Please bless it to our ears and our hearts and minds this morning. Not to ours only, Lord, but wherever the full counsel of your word is being read and preached, I pray that you would bless the hearers and preachers of it too. I pray for those that listen in on the internet or the CD. We're hoping and praying, and we're greatly desiring that this would be a help to you, if not on the 23rd of October 2022, on some other time. Because the words are the same, they haven't changed for nearly 2,000 years, and the meaning behind them and the desire behind them is that all of us would be edified and lifted up and even saved. And that desire has never changed. The Lord wants all men to be saved. Please be with us now, Father. Please, I pray for the words to speak and for inspiration and understanding. And we love you and thank you. Amen. Now, in this portion of God's Word, we read about the final prophecy of, if you like, of John the Baptist. Earlier on in the Gospels, whenever the Lord started his ministry, John the Baptist's disciples came to John and they said to John, "That guy that you were talking about, everybody's going after him. Our following is getting less and less." They didn't understand at the time that John was the man that came to prepare the way of the Lord, but as he said himself, he was not the Lord. And he said, as many of his followers went to follow Jesus, he said, "I've told you I'm not the Messiah. I am just the one who came to straighten his paths, to make people ready. I'm not even fit to undo his shoes. I must," what did he say? "I must decrease and he must increase." In other words, there was to be no division. Sadly, today we see a lot of division with those that claim to follow Jesus Christ. And the Lord even made mention of those folks, that many of whom claim to follow Jesus Christ, will sometimes be your greatest enemies. They will lock you up, they will persecute you, and they will even kill you. And they will think that they have done Jesus' job. Anyway, John got arrested because, as many people say in these days, John didn't make a point of speaking truth to power. He just made a point of speaking the truth. It didn't matter whether you were a pauper or you were a king. John preached the gospel. And so Herod locked him up. And I want you to notice a couple of things here. There were the two sides of human nature at work. We had the logic of Herod, who didn't want anything to happen to John because he was concerned that if he did this, pray for the fire engine that was just going up there. If he did this to John, there'd be a revolt in the people because they considered him a prophet. But Herod's wife, Herodias, she was ashamed and embarrassed about having her indiscretions pointed out and marrying her husband's brother. And so she organized to get John killed so that would shut him up. And Herod got backed into a corner and he ended up cutting John's head off and giving it to his stepdaughter. And she gave it to the mother and John was gone. Just like that. And that's how precious those that live in the world and the flesh and at the devil's whims can be. Just first thing that comes into their head. And things can happen so very, very quickly. Things that can't be undone. The reason I'm taking verses 13 through 36 as our text this morning is because this was what happened directly after John was executed. We have Jesus Christ. And I want you to understand something. God is not emotionless. God is not a robot. God is not an unfeeling force like you have in Star Wars. And if you're evil, you can use it for evil. And if you're good, you can use it for good. God is three persons. And we have scripture verses that warn us not to grieve the Holy Spirit in the New Testament. We have scripture verses in the Old Testament that tell us many times that God the Father was very angry with his people because they turned away from him. God is not emotionless. We also have the fact that Old and New Testament, we'll just use the most famous verse of scripture, John 3 and 16, that says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Jesus rejoiced when the disciples came back and told him about all the things that they could do through Jesus Christ. Jesus was angry with the way that the scribes and the Pharisees treated his house. They were making merchandise. They were turning it into a money spinner. And he made it with the small cords, and he turned over the tables, and he chased them and their animals out. Jesus grieved whenever Lazarus passed away. He was grieved in his spirit, and the shortest. Does anybody know what the shortest verse in the Bible is? Jesus wept. He was touched with all of the feelings and emotions that we have, but he wasn't subject to them. He wasn't subordinate to them. He was touched with them. He was fully man, but he was also fully God, and he demonstrated that even in these verses that were taken as our text, he demonstrated his power over so much. I am sure, but I wouldn't take it as scriptural, that the Lord departed into a desert place to grieve, to take time apart, to mourn the loss of John the Baptist, his cousin, his servant. But that is not what happened. As soon as the Lord departed by ship into a desert place, that will teach me a lesson about turning my phone off. There we go. As soon as the Lord departed into the desert place by ship, people started turning up. Out of all of the cities nearby, the villages and whatnot, people heard that Jesus is in the vicinity. Let's go and see what he will do. Let's go to God. And whenever they went to God, God, Jesus, had compassion on them. In the depths of his grief, he had compassion on them. It didn't mean he wasn't a crutch for them. It was something that God needed to show us 2,000 years later, that even whenever you're suffering loss, God can still use you. Let's have a look very quickly at a few of the things that he did. He healed the people that came to him. The Bible records that many of them only touched the hem of his garment and they were made whole. Excuse me. He turned somebody's packed lunch into enough food for 5,000 men, plus women and children. And as he sent everybody home, he walked on the water to meet up with them. In fact, one of the accounts says that he walked on the water and meant to pass them and go on home until they called out to him. And here we have also Peter. We know the old story. Peter said, Lord, if it's really you, call me to you and I'll go to you on the water. And so he does that. And we all know the old account. We're not even talking about You should keep your eyes on Jesus, even if you're within spitting distance of him, because Peter took his eyes off the Lord for a moment and let them go in the storm, and obviously the storm was greater than him. But if we keep our eyes on God, God is greater than the storm. And he called out to God, and God literally just reached out a hand and caught him. And whenever the disciples saw this, they worshipped him and said, "You're the Son of God." And whenever the boat landed back again, the crowds returned again, and Jesus started healing them again. All of these things happened as Jesus was grieving for the passing of his cousin, John the Baptist, a devoted servant who had literally done nothing else with his life but serve the Lord, or should I say, devoted his life to serving the Lord, called from his mother's womb to be a servant to the King of Kings. But Jesus said to him, "Of those born of men, there has not been one greater born than John the Baptist. Nevertheless, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than John the Baptist." John never had to get saved, for even the most compromised, backslidden Christian is still greater than John the Baptist. A bunch of stuff. A whole bunch of stuff that the Lord was called to do, constrained to do, as he sought for a place to grieve for his friend. And we know that the Lord oftentimes went aside into quiet places. Remember, whenever he looked at his disciples and they were going 13 to the dozen, ministering to people, helping people, and the word of God records, they didn't even have time to sit and have something to eat. And Jesus said, "Come ye apart into a desert place and rest a while." And we know that he did, because many times he went to the Garden of Gethsemane, where he was arrested. Judas knew that he went there to pray, away from the world, away from even his disciples in many cases, so that he could have some quality private time with his Father. I am sure that if these things had never happened, if the Lord had given in to very human grief, which I am sure we've all been touched with and will be touched with again in this world, these things would never have happened. Thousands of people would never have gotten to experience the power and the love of God firsthand. I'm always reminded of the rich young ruler, the man that rejected the teachings of the cross, the man that loved belongings and money more, that was the most important thing in his life, and he couldn't let them go. And the Bible expressly records that the Lord loved him. The Bible says the Lord, looking on him, loved him and told him what it was that he needed to do. Now, I know that as much as we would love to walk away from all of the lies and thefts and murders and just the unnecessary drama, the hardship that the world throws at us, I know it's very tempting to close the door and turn on a bit of music and turn it up loud so you can't hear the phone ring or the door knock or your phone ping in with an email. The Lord said, "I am come to seek and to save that which is lost." And then he went up to heaven. After giving his life on the cross, after shedding his blood, after all of that, he went up to heaven. But he said before he went, there is a job vacancy. And I would like for you to go and do exactly the same. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's what Jesus said. I'm sure Jesus is glad to be up in heaven again. Could you imagine if you had every day to walk in your bare foot through a byre full of cows? For by the thought of getting stepped on by a half a ton of beef on the hoof. Can you imagine walking through all that slurry in your bare feet? just give you the heebie-jeebies. You know you need to go to the hospital and get injections for something after that, for tetanus, for diphtheria, for who knows what, sepsis, maybe you might need even. And that's what it must have been like for Christ when he walked in this world. Everywhere he looked, he could see the sin rolling off of us. Our sin debt weighing us down. And I know to a certain extent, as a Christian, there's a lot of things that go on in this world that trouble us. Remember Lot, who lived in the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, whose names have become synonymous with the worst of sexual perversion. It says, he was troubled, he was vexed, righteous Lot was vexed. And I am sure, when we hear of 4,000 little babies have been murdered in Northern Ireland since they introduced, more than 4,000. And that should offend someone that loves the Lord. When you hear about the people in Chrysler 10 stepped off, most likely into a Christless eternity, that should grieve us. And another 8 that I hope we will say a word for as our weeks go on, that will have ample opportunity to consider their eternities. Whenever we hear people take the Lord's name in vain, when we see things on TV that really shouldn't be there, when we see what they're trying to do to our children, we should be righteously angry. It's no wonder that we don't want to have anything to do with it. But God said, I need you to go. And I need you to tell others in these difficult times. I want for you to understand something as we look at this. There were thousands ministered to, at least 5,000, maybe 8, 10, 15,000. But you know what? If you're doing a miracle and turning one packed lunch into 8,000 pack or 5,000 pack lunches, it's not going to be a big stretch to make it go to 15,000 pack lunches. If you're doing a miracle, you might as well go big. And even having done that, there was loads left, 12 baskets. Thousands of people were ministered to in the middle of Christ's grief. His close friends witnessed mind-blowing miracles. And then whenever it was all done, more people were helped. When we're hurting and under pressure, when we are harassed and persecuted, and when we are enduring the loss, and all of these things might not come at once, but you will suffer from them if you take any stand for Christ at all, you will come up against opposition. Sometimes it's light, and sometimes it's severe. It would be easy just to turn your back on the world. No man in this world could blame you. It would be easy to lash out, to give in to what the old nature would like to do, is just grab people by the lapels and shake them until the penny drops. But God's way is better. And we need to remember that it is our burden. You know, in Matthew 11, at the end of Matthew 11, it says, come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and will find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. As a Christian, you are perfectly outfitted to stand up to the nonsense, because it is half of our nature, and to go on with God's work, because that is the other half of our nature now as saved souls. We're not building little kingdoms for ourselves. We're populating God's kingdom. And sometimes it's tricky. It can be sore in the soul. It can be sore in the pocket. It can be sore in the fingers and the knees. It can be sore in the back and the shoulders. But we're reading through Proverbs at this particular time, and Proverbs 3 is a couple of verses I need to share with. These are the words of Solomon, as given to him by God, recorded in the Word of God for us today, 3,000 plus years later. And this is what he said, my son, this is for you and me. My son or my daughter, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commands. Stick with what God says. For length of days and long life and peace they shall add to thee. Doesn't mean peace on the outside, it means peace with God on the inside. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. It would be very easy to curse people out whenever they hurt us. Tell them the truth. Tell them the truth. Tell them that there is a God that loves them and that he is prepared to save them. Bind them about thy neck, write them upon the table of thine heart. And what that means is commit them to memory so that you have them when the book's closed, you still have them in your heart. So shalt thou find favour and good understanding in the sight of God and man. And the next verses are the ones that we all remember. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not on thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct thy paths. Even in difficult times, there is a way to behave. I'm sure Steve won't mind me mentioning in his absence. He has shared a few times that he feels very frustrated at not being able to be in church. And I have to say, I say to him, whenever he says that, that's okay, Steve, you can't do it. But what can you do? You can pray. You can praise. You can listen to the preaching. You can tithe. You can witness the people that come through your door and show them what it is that even in the darkest of times, you still have a God that loves you, whose hand is always outstretched to you, and you still have a Bible, his very word, that you can peruse and keep your mind active and upon good things. And that's why it pays to have huge dividends. Is that what all of the investors are looking for out in the world? They're all concerned now. But if the stock market's going down, what about my dividends? There is one market that is always on the up and the up, and that's, well, that's the Bible market, and that's the market of men's hearts. And whenever we sow plentifully to it, we shall reap even more plentifully, because you learn one portion of Scripture, you don't just get to use it the once, it doesn't just affect you the once, you use it with everybody, and it'll affect you all the time for good. It pays huge dividends to know what God says, and to have those rattling around in your heart. I know also that there's a big push these days for artificial intelligence. I even came across a clip on YouTube where they had two AIs talking to each other, debating each other. And it came across another one where the one AI was planning on destroying mankind. That's what AIs, that's what people have been told to tell their AIs. And it's great having the stuff. Those little phones that we carry about, they're not an artificial intelligence, but they are little logic machines. And people say, well, I have the Bible on my phone, and I always have my phone with me. You don't. You don't always have those verses that you need at your fingertips. Far better having them on the tip of your tongue. So that even when you're asleep and your phone's in a different part of the house, or there's no signal, or you just don't know what verse it is that you need, if it's in your heart, the Holy Spirit promises to bring it back to you just when you need it. It's a little bit like batteries. In our house, we have two drawers full of batteries. Now, they're only about that size. They're full of batteries. And I have a tray of batteries. And I can recharge the batteries. But we have literal new boxes of batteries. Never used, never opened. There for a rainy day. And do you know what? I paid for them. I put them in my hand, I took them home, and I put them in the drawer. And they're there. And they're mine. We're Monica's. And we can do whatever we want with them. But I'll tell you something right now. No power will be delivered from those batteries until they're put into their machine, their device. The remote control won't work without them. The keyboard won't work without them. The mouse won't work without them. The flashlight won't work without them. And that's why it's so necessary to have the word of God in your heart so that you're not sinning against it. I know there are times when people, events, especially people, really get in your wick. This could be one of them. This is one of my pet peeves. And all you want to do is twist their thick head off their stupid shoulders and kick that head on down the road. But the wee verses that we just read said, with all of your heart, we're supposed to trust the Lord. It's very easy to lash out, very easy to react, but it's very difficult sometimes to catch a hold of those wild horses and point them in the direction that we want for them, we need for them to go. Have you ever heard when the Lord said we're supposed to bless our enemies? Feed those that are hungry? And the Bible says that will heap coals of fire upon their head when they see, hold on, this animosity that I have means hardly anything to that person, but God means more to them. It messes with sinners' minds. It makes them think. But even in hard times when we serve the Lord, He will keep us and uphold us and guide us and direct us, and people will see what the power of God can do in the direst of times. And that's when people pay attention. That's when people take note. And that's what God wants to do. He wants people to take note. I've said to Steve, as he has said as well, why does God have me here? Why am I like this? And I keep saying to him, Steve, people are waiting to see you quit. People are waiting to hear that you just threw the rattle out of the pram and started drinking and smoking and cursing and swearing again because your health was poor. People are waiting for that. But people need to see that Christ, the Christ that you worship, is greater than your ailments and your illnesses, and that you can still smile and that you can still serve. And if people get saved from that, is that not worth it all? You'll get to see God work in your life. Your grief will not hit you as hard. It will not take it away. Dire times will not affect you as much whenever you keep your eyes upon the Lord and trust in Him. You will also find that the most precious of times to be had with God are whenever you are at a low ebb. I have learned a number of times in my past when my health has not been where I would have liked it to be, but I was at death's door, the only thing that mattered to me was my Savior. That was the only thing. And I was able to go to bed each night just with painkillers, not tranquilizers, but painkillers. And I was able to sleep, and I was able to rest, and I was able to smile, and I was able to thank the doctors and nurses, and I didn't have to complain, because that Jesus that I worshipped, that saved me, that I had served, He was there for me. And if He was there for me in that most difficult of time, you can be sure as shooting He will be there for you too. The Word of God records that the Lord is never very far from any one of us. And I would pray that you would seek Him out, especially in difficult times. Stopping there, thanking you for your good time. Let's take one of those hymns that we were talking about earlier on, and we will sing hymn number 325. 325. That'll bring us to the end of the service, and then we will be dismissed. Let's stand as we sing, trust and obey. Not that one. This is a bit like texting. Sometimes my phone sends different messages than I send. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this time in your presence and around your word. Let us remember that especially in difficult times, we turn to you. Bless us as we part company. Please, Lord, I pray you grant our private prayer requests. Please be with the folks on the road and speak to them about their eternity. Please, Lord, don't be done speaking with us. We love you and thank you, Lord. We leave this out at your feet. Pray that you would see us safely home and back at the next appointed time. Love you and preach. Amen. Folks, we're dismissed. God bless you.